Welcome to our deep dive, and we're going to be exploring something pretty big, something that's really kind of shaking up the financial world.
Yeah.
It's Cathy Wood's deflationary thesis.
Right.
This isn't just any other hot take, you know?
Oh, no.
This is Cathy Wood. This is the CEO of ARK Invest.
Right.
A woman who's really built her reputation on spotting those disruptive tech trends.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And she's saying that the economy is heading not for persistent inflation, but for deflation, like lower prices against the board.
It's a bold claim, for sure.
It is bold.
One that flies in the face of a lot of the conventional wisdom that we hear all the time.
Yeah, so we're going to unpack her core arguments.
Okay.
We're going to examine all the evidence and consider the counterarguments, you know, from those who think she's maybe a little off base.
Yeah.
Is Wood right about this big, massive economic shift?
Mm-hmm.
Or is her laser focus on tech kind of blinding her to other forces?
Right.
Sounds
fascinating.
So Wood's case for deflation boils down to three main points.
Okay.
First up, and this is probably like the most central to her thesis, is what she calls tech-driven innovation.
And this is where she really leans into her strength, you know?
Yeah.
Arguing that the rapid progress that we're seeing in AI, in robotics, energy storage, genomics even, all of these things are about to unleash this deflationary tidal wave.
Huge.
Yeah, and it's not just about things getting cheaper.
Right.
It's really a fundamental shift in how we produce goods and services.
She's not just talking the talk either.
No.
She's saying that the cost to train AI models is plummeting by an incredible 60 to 70% per year.
Wow, that's unheard of.
It's like Moore's Law on fast forward.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting is like how this unprecedented deflationary force can kind of ripple through the whole economy.
Yeah.
So imagine AI making drug discovery faster and cheaper.
Right.
Suddenly these life-saving medications become accessible to way more people.
Exactly. Or think about AI optimizing our energy grids.
Yeah.
Slashing energy costs for businesses and consumers.
Right.
These aren't small incremental changes.
No.
This is the potential for some sweeping disruption.
Across all sectors.
Yeah, it's a really compelling argument.
It is.
But if we follow that logic, then wouldn't some companies kind of get left behind?
Absolutely. And that brings us to her second way, which is creative destruction.
Okay.
She argues that this rapid innovation is going to be kind of a double-edged sword.
Okay.
On the one hand, we get good deflation.
Uh-huh.
New technologies make products cheaper and better.
Right.
But on the other hand, existing companies, those that are stuck in the old ways of doing things, they're going to face extinction.
So it's not just about offering discounts to stay competitive.
Right.
We're talking about fire sales bankruptcies.
Yeah.
A whole reshuffling of the economic deck.
Precisely. And she warns that a lot of companies, particularly those in more traditional sectors, are laden with what she calls stranded assets.
Okay.
Think about factories built for internal combustion engines.
Right.
Or retail giants with these sprawling networks of physical stores.
Uh-huh.
These assets that were once so valuable risk becoming liabilities
in
a world that's being transformed by AI and automation.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
But how do we see this playing out, you know, in the real world?
Right.
Where's the evidence that this isn't just theoretical?
Well, look no further than the massive post-holiday sales that we see every year.
Oh, yeah.
Retailers are offering these really steep discounts to clear out all that excess inventory.
Right.
And Wood sees this as a microcosm of the deflationary pressures that are building.
It's like those clearance racks are like a canary in a coal mine.
It's an interesting analogy.
Yeah, for the whole economy.
Yeah.
And Wood's third point really ties into this whole idea of cyclical unwinding.
Right.
Remember the pandemic era supply chain chaos?
Oh, yeah.
And the inventory pileups.
Yeah.
She believes those are starting to unravel.
Yeah.
And that's going to unleash even more oversupply and even more discounting in the months ahead.
Wow.
So imagine you're listening to this right now.
Yeah.
What if the price of everything starts going down?
Yeah.
Do you hold off on buying that new phone?
Right.
Bet it'll be cheaper next month.
Uh-huh.
Do you reconsider that home renovation project?
Yeah.
What does this even mean for long-term financial planning?
Right.
These are big questions.
They are.
And they're exactly what we're going to continue exploring in this deep dive.
Okay. All right. Stay tuned. I'm ready.
We'll be right back.
Okay.
All right. So we've laid out like the foundation of Wood's deflationary thesis.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets even more interesting.
Okay.
Not only is she sticking to her prediction, she's actually doubled down on it.
Really?
In recent months.
Wow.
What's really intriguing is she's pointing to current events.
Yeah.
Recent data as evidence.
Okay.
That this isn't just some far-off theory.
Right.
It's starting to happen
right
now.
Yeah. So what's she looking at?
She highlights the falling prices of commodities, for example.
Okay.
Remember how those prices just went through the roof during the pandemic?
Oh, yeah. Lumber oil.
Everything.
Coffee beans.
Yeah. Even things like coffee beans.
Crazy.
Well, now they're coming back down.
Okay.
And Wood sees this as proof that inflation we experience was, as she predicted, all along transitory.
Interesting.
But she's not just looking at these immediate fluctuations.
Right.
She connects this to the idea of the Kondratiev wave.
Okay.
Have you heard of this?
I have, yeah. It's the theory that the economy goes through these long, you know, roughly 50-year cycles of boom and bust.
Okay, I have to admit, the Kondratiev wave is a new one for me.
It's fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
The theory suggests that each wave is driven by a different cluster of innovations.
Okay.
You know, steam engines, electricity, the internet.
Right.
And that we're currently in this period where those innovations are maturing.
Okay.
Which leads to overcapacity and, you guessed it, deflationary pressures.
So she's saying we're not just seeing a temporary dip.
Right.
We're at the beginning of a long-term downward trend.
Exactly.
And to back this up, she points out to the Bloomberg Commodity Index.
Yeah.
A measure of a whole basket of commodities is now back to the same level it was in 1984.
Wow.
That's like going back to the future, economically speaking.
It's a striking comparison, for sure.
It is.
But Wood's not just relying on historical patterns.
Right.
She's also laser-focused on the present, especially the accelerating pace of breakthroughs in artificial intelligence.
Right.
Think about the explosion of tools like ChatGPT, DALL-E, all these other AI platforms that are rapidly changing the way we work and create.
It seems like every day there's a new AI tool that can do something incredible.
Yeah.
Write code, compose music, generate photorealistic images from text prompts.
It's wild.
It's mind-blowing.
I know.
And that's precisely what Wood is banking on.
Yeah.
She believes that AI is about to tip the scales even further towards broad-based deflation.
Mm.
Not just by making individual products cheaper.
Right.
But by boosting productivity across all industries.
So it's not just about automating specific tasks. It's about fundamentally changing how businesses operate, how efficiently they can deliver goods and services.
That's a huge claim.
It is, and it's a big part of why her predictions have so controversial.
Yeah.
But remember, she's not just focused on these shiny new technologies.
Okay.
Wood's also looking at some of the more traditional economic indicators.
Uh-huh.
And what she sees there is giving her even more reason to be concerned about deflation.
She's talking about like rising unemployment.
Yeah.
The housing market slowdown.
Right.
That wonky thing called the inverted yield curve.
Exactly.
These are all classic signs of an economic slowdown.
For sure.
If not an outright recession.
Yeah.
And Wood argues that the Federal Reserve,
okay,
the folks who set interest rates, are making a dangerous mistake by continuing to raise rates.
Interesting.
In the face of these warning signs.
So she thinks they're fighting the last war.
Exactly. She believes they're so focused on lagging indicators, like current inflation readings, that they're missing the bigger picture.
It's like they're driving while looking only in the rearview mirror.
That's a good way to put it. And Wood has been very vocal about this.
Yeah.
She's disagreed with the Fed, even accusing them of risking a deflationary recession.
Wow.
By tightening monetary policy too aggressively.
It's a pretty bold statement to call out the most powerful central bank in the world.
It is, but this brings us to a crucial question.
Okay.
Do these recent developments actually strengthen Wood's case for deflation?
Right.
Or is she simply cherry-picking data to fit a narrative that she's already committed to?
That's what we need to figure out.
We've got falling commodity prices, accelerating AI breakthroughs, signs of an economic slowdown.
Uh-huh.
And a Fed that seems to be at odds with Wood's view of the economy.
It's a lot to process.
It is.
And while there's a lot that's compelling about Wood's analysis, also important to consider the other side of the coin.
Okay.
The counterarguments to her thesis are just as important to understanding the full picture.
All right, then let's get into those.
Okay.
What are the critics saying about Wood's deflationary predictions?
Well.
All right, so we spent some time, you know, exploring Kathy Wood's vision of this deflationary future fueled by all these tech advancements.
Yeah.
But as with any bold prediction, you know, there's always plenty of skeptics.
Of course, there are always going to be people on the other side.
So
yeah.
What are the critics saying?
Well, first off, you know, the inflation hawks right there.
Right.
They're not convinced that inflation is really on its way out.
Okay.
Sure, some prices have come down like we talked about.
Yeah.
But we're still seeing persistent increases in things like wages, services, and rent.
So it's like some parts of the economy are cooling off, but others are still running hot.
Exactly. And it makes it really tough for policymakers to know what the right moves are.
Yeah, that's a tough spot to be in.
For sure.
So what are they saying? Like,
we're arguing that this sticky inflation could linger for a while, you know?
Right.
And that could require central banks to keep interest rates higher than Wood would like.
Than she thinks is necessary.
Right. And even some Fed officials have pushed back against the idea that inflation will fade away quickly.
Okay.
They point to factors like housing shortages, ongoing geopolitical uncertainty as right. potential sources of that inflationary pressure.
So they're saying, like, hold your horses.
Yeah, don't celebrate the end of inflation just yet.
Okay, and this kind of ties into another criticism that we've heard.
Uh-huh.
Wood's track record.
Right.
Remember back in 2022?
Yeah.
She was really adamant that inflation was going to be transitory.
Yeah, transitory was the word of the year.
It really was, and that turned out to be, well, not exactly accurate.
Not quite.
Yeah, she even had to admit that she got the timing wrong.
Right.
So now the skeptics are saying,
uh-huh.
like, why should we believe you about deflation if you miss the mark on inflation?
It's a fair question, I think.
Yeah.
And it really underscores how difficult it is to make these kinds of macroeconomic predictions.
Yeah.
The economy is this complex system, you know,
right.
and there are always unforeseen factors that can throw things off course.
So you're saying there's no easy answers here?
No, not at all.
Okay. But let's say, for the sake of argument,
yeah.
that Wood is right about these deflationary forces. Hmm. Are the critics saying that she's overestimating the impact of technology?
That's another key point of contention, yeah.
Okay.
They acknowledge that technology can drive down prices.
Yeah.
But they argue that it doesn't necessarily translate into widespread deflation.
Right.
Think about it. You know, even if your new smartphone is cheaper,
yeah.
thanks to advances in chip manufacturing.
Right.
That doesn't mean the price of everything else will magically fall.
So, yes, technology can make some things more affordable,
uh-huh.
but it doesn't mean we're entering this deflationary spiral where the price of everything's dropping.
Right, and they point to historical examples to back this up.
Okay.
Periods of intense technological innovation, like the rise of railroads electrification or the internet,
right.
those didn't lead to sustained deflation.
Mm.
In fact, they often coincided with economic growth
okay.
and rising incomes.
So, because even if some goods and services become cheaper,
right.
people have more money to spend on other things.
Exactly. And that can keep inflation in check.
Interesting.
And then there's also the issue of sectors that have historically been resistant to those deflationary pressures.
Okay.
You know, healthcare, education, housing.
Uh-huh.
These are all areas where costs have continued to climb.
It seems like no matter what,
right.
those things just keep going up.
Despite technological advancements.
Right. So the idea that tech alone will bring about widespread deflation
yeah.
might be overly simplistic.
That's their argument.
Okay, so we got these counterarguments.
Yeah.
Sticky inflation.
Right.
Wood's past predictions.
Mm-hmm.
The limited scope of tech-driven deflation and the historical context.
Yep.
Are there any other major criticisms that we should be aware of?
Well, there's one more that comes up a lot.
Okay.
And it's a little more pointed.
Okay.
Some critics point to the performance of ARK's own investment funds
uh-huh.
as evidence that Wood's strategy might be a little too risky.
Okay.
Particularly in a world where interest rates are going up.
You're talking about the fact that ARK,
yeah.
ARK's flagship fund
right.
soared in 2020.
Yeah, it did really well.
But then crashed pretty hard when inflation took off
uh-huh.
and interest rates started climbing.
Exactly.
Ouch.
Yeah. Wood's investment approach is heavily tilted toward those high growth tech stocks.
Yeah.
And those tend to be very sensitive to changes in interest rates.
Right. Because when rates rise, those future earnings that investors are betting on
yeah.
become less valuable today.
Exactly. It's a double whammy.
Yeah.
Inflation eats away at the value of those future earnings.
Right.
And rising rates make those earnings even less attractive to investors.
So the critics are saying that betting on Wood's deflationary scenario could be risky.
It could be incredibly risky, especially if she's wrong about interest rates.
Right.
They suggest that her focus on disruptive innovation might be blinding her to these other economic realities.
So where does all this leave us?
Right.
We've explored Kathy Wood's vision.
Yeah.
This compelling vision of a deflationary future fueled by tech.
Uh-huh.
But I've also heard from the skeptics.
Right.
Those who highlighted those risks
yeah.
of sticky inflation, her past miscalculations,
uh-huh.
the limitations of a tech-centric view.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to take away from all this?
I think the key takeaway is that there's no crystal ball.
Yeah.
Predicting the future of the economy is really difficult.
Right.
And there are smart people on both sides of this debate.
So it's not about picking a side and blindly following
no way.
One prediction or the other.
It's about understanding the arguments, the evidence,
right.
and the risks involved.
It's about informed skepticism.
Exactly.
So if you're listening to this
yeah.
and you're trying to figure out how to navigate this crazy economic landscape,
right.
what should you be doing?
Stay informed, diversify your investments.
Yeah.
Be prepared for different scenarios.
Okay.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket, and don't assume that any single prediction, no matter how confidently it's presented, is a guarantee.
That's great advice.
I try.
And on that note,
yeah.
we've reached the end of our deep dive into Kathy Wood's deflationary thesis.
It's been a journey.
It is. We've explored the arguments, the evidence, the counterpoints, the potential risks and rewards.
Yeah.
But we want to leave you with one final thought.
Okay.
If Wood is right,
yeah.
and we are on the cusp of a deflationary era, what skills and knowledge will be the most valuable in that new world?
That's a great question.
It is something worth pondering as we navigate the uncertainties of the future.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, we encourage you to keep exploring these ideas
yeah.
and to always stay curious.
And I'll see you on the next one.
Yeah, see you next time.